In the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and through Jesus, the judge who will come back as the Lord of the harvest on the last day. Friends of our Savior, the other day I was watching a video on YouTube. If you don't know what YouTube is, it's basically just videos online. I was watching a video on the Navy SEALs, and what happens with YouTube is you can set your computer so that once you're done with the video, it automatically starts the next video. You know that, right? Probably the younger generation knows that. So I watched the one video and went to do something else. I don't know if I was distracted by my kids or whatever. But all of a sudden, the next one came up, and it kind of caught my ear because it was another Navy SEAL, or former Navy SEAL, talking to someone in the mall about Jesus. And he had on his phone or video or whatever he used that a mall cop or a mall security came up and told him that he couldn't talk about Jesus to someone in the mall because it was harassing them. And this dialogue ensued between them. And eventually what happened was the mall security called the local police department to come down and to deal with the situation. In the meantime, this conversation developed into the mall security talking to the former Navy SEAL and saying to him, "You know, I'm a Christian too, but I don't go around harassing people about Jesus." He even said, "You know, I bet you're one of those Christians that goes to church every Sunday too, aren't you?" Long story short, the local police department did show up, told the former Navy SEAL he had to leave, and he could no longer talk publicly to someone, even if they were having a two-way conversation about Jesus in public in the mall. The reason I point this out is this is just one of many examples in our world of what Peter speaks to us today about. Ironically, the one who was armed with the attitude of Christ was taken out by those who were armed physically, with their own arms, as we call them. That while the one who stood out in the mall was armed with Christ, he was thrown out. The one who told about the suffering servant Savior ended up suffering as a result of it. Today we're going to hear from Peter that as we live in this world but strive to not be of it, as we live in the flow of the world but strive to go against the flow, that we always be armed with the attitude of Christ, and that as we are, that we are ready to stand out and ready to suffer for it. Of course, standing out isn't something that's anything new. When you were little, you didn't want to be different than the rest of the kids, right? The ugly duckling, the story you learned when you were little, the fairy tale. It still kind of holds true, doesn't it, in our lives? If we look different, if we stand out to be different than someone else, we don't want to do that. What about the real stories? Stories of men like Noah building a boat roughly the size of a football field or two, where no water was, what led up to the flood. Men like Daniel, what led up to the den as he quite literally smelled the breath of the lions. Or maybe the three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as they were thrown into the fiery furnace. What did they all three have in common? All three of those stories have in common? They all stood out, didn't they? Or maybe if we go over to the New Testament, we look at a man like Stephen and what led up to his stoning. Or a man like Paul, the Apostle Paul, who, let's face it, the guy was imprisoned, stoned, thrown out of city after city, shipwrecked, you name it. And then there were the 12, the disciples, who left everything to follow Jesus. And as historical tradition tells us they were all martyred in horrific ways, with the exception of John, who was just exiled to the island of Patmos. What did they all have in common? They all stood out. They all stood out because they were armed with the attitude of Christ, and that's what made them stand out. I guess we might have to ask, though, what was the cause of it? Were they trying to get some sort of attention on themselves? Hardly. Their cause was because Christ suffered in flesh. Therefore, arm yourselves with the same mindset. You look at the way Christ Jesus stood out in His life. We don't see much of His glory. We see little glimpses of it in His life, but His glory didn't really stand out in His life. Not all that much. At least not to outsiders. Maybe aside from the miracles that He did. His glory was pretty much hidden. We know that because even His own family didn't recognize Him as the Savior. And remember the familiar question that was asked? Can anything good come from Nazareth? He didn't stand out as to His glory, but you remember the rest of His life. Remember when He sat down with tax collectors, sinners, and associated with prostitutes? Who would do that? Remember how He pointed out sin but didn't revel in it? Remember how He loved without expecting to be loved in return? Loving others but not necessarily loving Himself the way we do? And then He, of course, had a will of His own, but He didn't live according to His own will. He lived according to His Father's will. And that was just in His life. And you see what led up to His death, even the fact that He did die. His trial was put out in front of everyone. Pontius Pilate, remember, shoved Him out there in front of the whole crowd of people. You deal with Him. He's your king. Or maybe when they took Him away and they put Him on the cross in between two criminals so that they would associate Him as being kind of the ringleader of the two, the worst of all. Put Him on display so that everyone walked past would say, yeah, look at that guy, he must have been horrible. He stood out, didn't he? He stood out in His life, and He stood out even in His death. But for what purpose? Peter gives us the answer. Because the one who has suffered in flesh is done with sin. Jesus stood out so that your sins wouldn't stand out when God sees you. Jesus stood out in this life because you and I, in our sinful nature, we don't like to stand out as Christians. We have a hard time doing that because there's that sinful part of us that likes to just kind of go with the flow. It's easier to live in the world, because that's where we are. And yet you remember the gospel lesson this morning, don't you? The parable of the weeds among the wheat. Or as I like to say, the wheat among the weeds. Does it seem like there's more weeds in the world today than there are wheat? I'm not talking about in your own garden. I'm talking about the believers and unbelievers. It's harder and harder to live because it seems like the weeds are crowding in around you. It seems like they're getting taller and taller and shading out the light of Christ in our lives. It seems like the temptation is there to just live as they do in unbridled immorality, lusts, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and disgusting idolatry. Or maybe the attitude, well, I don't do those things, so I'm better than everyone who does. Peter says, do this, stand out, arm yourselves with the attitude of Christ so that you no longer live the rest of your time in the flesh for human desires, but for God's will. See, it's not enough to just know what the Bible says. It's not enough to just have that confirmation information put into your minds. What do you do with it? living as Christ is really exuding the attitude in which Christ motivates us. See, Christ doesn't just serve as an example for us to follow, but He is ultimately the motivation whereby we follow His example, whereby we seek to follow Him, and by following Him, we stand out in the midst of the world. So, are you standing out? Do you stand out in the world? Do people notice you? Do you look any different? Do you sound any different? Do you sound the same as them? Because those who aren't standing out are sitting in, sitting alongside of, growing alongside of the weeds in the world, and very easily, when Jesus comes in the last day, will find themselves, "I'm no longer wheat as I thought, but I was choked out by the weeds, and I've become one of them." You remember what Jesus said happens when the reapers, the angels, come. They cut down the weeds and they throw them into the fire of hell. This is the severity of what a laissez-faire attitude toward God and His Word brings. This is what crowding ourselves around in the world with weeds does. It chokes off the root, core, and substance of our faith in Christ Jesus. Which is why, as wheat, we long for that sweet nectar that comes from the Word made flesh, the one who came to us and showed us, "See, I've freed you from all the bonds of sin. I've freed you from the temptations that come alluring your way. I've freed you and I've suffered for you so that you don't have to suffer in eternity for your sin." Although, as you arm yourself with my attitude, Christ says, you will stand out because after all I did. And don't be surprised if you suffer. Because after all, the student is not all that much different than the teacher when it comes to suffering. I'm not sure if you realize this, but the Bible does not ever tell us that when you become a Christian, when you hitch your wagon to Jesus, it's all going to be smooth sailing through life. You won't have to suffer anymore. In fact, the Bible says completely the opposite. We must endure many hardships to enter the kingdom of heaven. Even more than that, the Apostle Paul in Romans 5, verse 4, he talks about suffering producing perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope, and hope is the hope that does not disappoint us. It's really the same thing. Suffering for a Christian is not meant to be a punishment in this life. I think we take that the wrong way very often. When God allows suffering in our lives, it is the same reason why the one who purifies those precious metals holds that metal into the fire to refine the impurities out, to strip it of its impurities so that what is left is pure. Suffering does that for a Christian. It leads us to strip away what is all meaningless in this life, all those things that are just distractions and temptations in this world, and it leads us to fix our eyes and focus on what matters most in eternity, the matters of Christ Jesus. So that's why during a time of suffering, and history has told us this and shown us, the church doesn't die. It may seem to on the outside, but really what it does is it is purified. It goes underground, and really the gospel spreads even more so. It's almost like you can't have this, and so everyone wants it because they can't have it. Regardless, you and I know how difficult it is to live in this world. It's a very sad and telling thing when Christ becomes an offense, at least unless you're not using it in a profane way. You can use Jesus as a swear word, as a curse word, but you can't use Jesus' name the way He wants it to be used. And so when you do, You have those who are surprised, as Peter says, that you do not plunge into the same overflowing river of filth with them. And then they slander you. Does it seem to you that as a Christian it is becoming more and more, and even indirectly? You know, maybe you said no to a sin, or maybe a sin that you had done in the past and someone else was there when you committed that sin, and now you have realized the error of your ways and you now seek to want to serve and please God because of what He's done for you, not to earn His favor. And now you say no at this time because I don't want to do that to offend my holy God. And what does they say? Oh, now all of a sudden you grew a conscience, didn't you? You're one of those people. You and your God. Goody two-shoes, aren't you? I'm not going to hang around with you anymore. You're too good for me? What, you're too good for this? Has nothing to do with the person, does it? Everything to do with being armed with the attitude of Christ. Even as we stand out and we suffer. Just reading an article the other day that was in regards to someone who had changed their gender. They didn't appreciate the gender that God gave them, so they changed it, had the surgery, and they were, of course, member of the LGBTQRS, whatever they call themselves. And they said in the article that they felt harassed because Christians were not accepting enough of them, because after they had the surgery, the gender change, the sex change, that Christians now weren't attracted to them. And they should be, so they felt harassed. This is the world we live in. These are the weeds that grow up all around us. And you have your own examples that you know of. But how hard is it to live by yourself with weeds all around you, sucking the life out of you? How much easier is it when we gather together to encourage one another all the more as we see the day approaching? That's one of the benefits and blessings of having a church family. One of the blessings of coming and meeting together, as some aren't in the habit of doing. One of the reasons why we encourage one another as we see that day approaching, all the more. One of the reasons why when we feel the threat of the weeds around us, we dig down deeper. We sink those roots down even deeper into the Word of God, knowing that in the end, Peter says, they will have to give an account to the one who is ready to judge the living and the dead. And you know what's interesting here is normally we think of the gospel as one of those things that we tell people of, this is how Jesus forgave you, this is how Jesus saved you, this is what He did for you, He died for you, and He gave His life for you. But the gospel also serves a secondary purpose today. Peter says it this way, it was for this reason that the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, so that they might be judged the way people are judged in flesh, and that they might live the way God lives in spirit. To put it simply, those who have heard the gospel, the true living gospel of Jesus, even though they're alive, they are spiritually dead. And that gospel that could have given them life, that they said, ah, that's foolishness, I want nothing to do with that in this life, in the end will actually stand as a judge against them in the end. While the weeds are harvested in the end, who stands? Remember the gospel lesson? The weeds harvest them first, and the wheat will stand. Knowing that precious message of Jesus and His life and His death and salvation, the forgiveness that He has given to us, was not a sham, was not foolishness, was every reason to stand out without even trying, and was worth the little bit of suffering that we endure in this life. that in the end, we might not have to suffer ever again. Arm yourselves with the attitude of Christ. You know, being armed doesn't always mean that you go after someone with the weapon, does it? Talk about home defense. You go ready to defend. You go out into the world ready to stand out, if need be, and even to suffer a little bit. Because that's what your Savior has done for you many times over. And maybe even more than that, as the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 3, whatever was to my profit, I consider it a loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him at the last harvest. So when Jesus comes back in glory with that band of angels, the reapers, to reap the harvest, those who are armed with the attitude of Christ will stand out like the sun shining. That while we've suffered, albeit a little bit in this life, it's all worth it. Because in the end, we will stand out before the throne of God, never to suffer again. Amen.